You can call in this morning at 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK. Or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Just remember that if you ever forget it. Michael Evans on the mic. This is not Mike and Mike in the Morning. You're on the wrong channel if that's what you're tuned into this morning. We're here to talk about the news, politics, and everything from a Christian perspective. All sorts of stuff happening in the news this morning. Again, thank you for joining the program. 1180 WFYL, it's a new day. I was watching last night Bill O'Reilly. Very briefly, I have mixed feelings about Bill O'Reilly. Sometimes I love him, sometimes I hate him. He, by the way, and this is just a side note before I even get into that, did you know his Killing Jesus movie? It aired on National Geographic not too long ago. I actually wanted to do a little piece on this. Did you know that Jesus was actually played by a Muslim? It confounds me. And Bill O'Reilly, I guess, is Catholic. Most of Fox News is Catholic, which I have no problem with. I have no problem with someone being Catholic at all. No problem. I believe that there are people who love Jesus who are Catholic and have a relationship with him. There is some truth in there. There are a lot of disagreements I have doctrinally. The Pope, of course, is going to be coming in September to Philadelphia. So we're going to talk about that eventually when the time comes, as I had some feelings about that too. But Penn Jillette was referenced last night in Bill O'Reilly's program. And I don't know if he got this. He must have gotten it, because the only thing that I was able to find was about 2 years old as far as what he was actually referencing, as far as Penn Jillette saying. And what he actually referenced, I believe, was this. Quote, "If you're considering becoming an atheist, read the Bible from cover to cover," Jillette wrote. "No study guides, no spins, just read it. Sometime between when God tells Abraham to kill his son and when Jesus tells everyone to put him before their families, you'll be an atheist. And when someone tells you to put yourself before everything else in your life, you'll be an atheist as well." Just thought I'd throw that in there. Jillette's other five favorite books were also tied in different ways to his atheism. I just read that real quick from an article on the Christian Post, but that was in 2012, November 18th, 2012. And again, from one of his books, that was. But Bill O'Reilly, and Jillette has said this kind of thing before, and you know what? Honestly, my heart goes out to Jillette. It really does. I'm a Christian, but my heart goes out to him because he reads the Bible, and like that one comment right there, no study guides, no spins, just read it. Sometime between when God tells Abraham to kill his son and when Jesus tells everyone to put him before their families, you'll be an atheist. See, he reads the Bible from cover to cover, and he thinks that it says that all of the that God is this raging, mad, evil, crazy being that commands people to kill their own children, and that and that says he's more important than anything else in this world. Now, I will say this. Just, I'm a Christian, but I'm doing the devil's advocate argument now. If there is a God, I would expect him to say that he's the most important thing of everything. If he didn't say that, then he's deceptive, and he's not really working for my good, because if he is God, if we're truly defining God as an all-knowing, all-being, omniscient, omnipotent, if I could say that correctly, being, then then I would expect him to say that he's the most important thing. If he didn't, it would be deceptive, and it would be a disservice to me and to everyone else who inhabits this world, all of his creation. But number two, and I think this is most interesting, both acts of what Penn describes here in the Bible. Because I will say this, atheism is the epitome of skepticism. It is the epitome. There's nothing higher than that. In order to say that you believe that there is no creator for everything you see around you, even though you know yourself as not the originator from whence all of this creation came, if you believe the universe existed infinitely, you know, forever, it just is, you're essentially saying the universe is God. But it is the epitome of skepticism. It is the epitome of, well, I see this chair, I sit down in this chair, it's holding me up, but I don't believe it's there. That's what atheism is, because, and I'm not trying to take a shot at atheists with that. I'm trying to logically reason it out, because I've friends. And it's, you know what, it's been a long time since I've talked with them, but who are atheists or agnostic, where agnostic being they know something is there, something exists, but they don't necessarily know from where it came or what it is. And sometimes even that is just a tinge of, it's like atheism light. You know, you're not a skeptic enough to say there's nothing at all that I could absolutely believe in this world other than myself. But you say that, well, I'm almost there. That's essentially what agnostic is. Not Gnosticism. There's a difference between Gnosticism and agnostic. But those two acts that Gillette describes in that quote there, sometime between when God tells Abraham to kill his son and when Jesus tells everyone to put him before their families, you'll be an atheist. From a Christian perspective, those are both acts of faith. They're both acts of faith. I think it's interesting that he takes the most issue with two acts of faith, because that's what the whole Christian faith is based on. It's a faith. You believe in God. You believe in Jesus. Because when God told Abraham to kill his son, did he actually make him follow through on it? No. No, because God is good. He didn't make Abraham follow through. He wanted to see if Abraham was going to trust him enough to put the life of his son in God's hands. And he did. And Abraham is called the father of the faith in Romans, because he put his faith in God. And again, if God is the one created being, if he is truly God, then I would expect him to make himself known, and I would expect him to want me to put all my faith and trust in him. Because there would be, by very definition, there's no one else like God. So he actually was testing the faith of Abraham. He didn't make him kill his son. He, in fact, stopped him when he was ready, when Abraham was ready to trust God with the life of his own son, to actually kill him, to actually bring the knife down on his son. God stopped him and provided a sacrifice. He provided a ram caught in a thicket. A beautiful, beautiful allusion to Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he would make for our sin. Because even in the second part, Jesus tells everyone to put him before their families. Again, if someone was saying that they were God, again, God being omnipotent, omniscient, just omni-everything. Get that out of the way. I would expect him to say things like that. Because if he didn't, then what kind of God is he? Is he really all-powerful? Is he really all-knowing? Is he really everywhere? So both of those, I think it's interesting. And I Bill O'Reilly, and this is where, again, I say I love and I hate him. It's a love-hate relationship with Mr. O'Reilly. He says that, and you know what? He's probably a really good guy when you meet him. But at least from his show, because he spun it as, is Penn Jillette attacking religion? Well, of course he is. Everyone, no one who, there's a reason why, there's a scripture of the day. If you're not for me, you're against me. Jesus said that for a reason. Because everyone, and that's Matthew 12:30. Anyone who is not underneath the blood, who has accepted Jesus as a sacrifice for their sins, of course they're going to be against. Of course they're going to be against Scripture. Of course they're going to be attacking religion. That is, and I get surprised by that naivete, quite frankly. But of course they are. This is Matthew 12:30. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And O'Reilly tried to spin it as Penn Jillette is attacking atheism. Or not atheism. He is an atheist. Excuse me. I'll backtrack. He's attacking Christianity. We'll be back. We're going to head to a break, finish this thought, and then we have more items in the news. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the program. Call in. Let your voice be heard. 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-8255. You can call toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Let your voice be heard this morning. Penn Jillette, we're talking about Bill O'Reilly and his little piece he did on a comment or a video that Penn Jillette said. I said the most recent thing I found that basically is exactly what he's referring, you probably just said it again, which is very common. People believe one thing and they just say it again. Basically saying, is Penn Jillette attacking religion? Well, of course he is, Bill. Of course he is. Why is that a revelation? Well, you just read Matthew 12:30. This is Jesus, right out of Jesus' mouth. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not scatter with, or whoever does not gather with me scatters. Of course he's attacking religion. Of course he's attacking faith. I'm reading an article from the Christian Post. Quote, no study guides, no spins, just read it, referring to the Bible. Sometime between when God tells Abraham to kill his son and when Jesus tells everyone to put him before their families, you'll be an atheist. I just talked about how I thought that it was interesting that those are both two acts of faith that Mr. Jillette has such a problem with. Of course he's attacking religion. Anyone who's not a Christian, who is not following Jesus and hasn't accepted him as a sacrifice for their sins, of course. Of course it's going to be attacking religion. Because it's faith. It's faith in God, and God in the form of Jesus Christ. And I was saying before, my heart, it goes out to Penn. It goes out to Mr. Jillette. It really does. Because we all, at one point, were at that same place where we weren't putting faith in God. And you know what? There are a lot of times that us who are Christians, we thought that we were too far gone for God to help. And you know what? I'm sure tons of people, incorrectly, have said that Penn Jillette is too far gone for God to save. That is not true at all. That is not true at all. And I love and hate Bill O'Reilly. I think he makes a lot of great points sometimes, but I think he also makes a lot of bonehead ones. Because he was basically spinning this, trying to rouse Christians and conservatives like myself. And you know what? By the way, just so it's clear, my political affiliation is Christian. Just so that's out of the way, first and foremost, because there are a lot of conservatives that I don't always necessarily agree with. It's Christian. That may be an interesting one to chew on a little bit, But my heart goes out to Gillette. It was a reason why Jesus said he did not come into the world to condemn it. The world is condemned already. We came to seek and save that which was lost. And you know what? Gillette is lost right now. And our prayers need to go out for him. Our prayers need to go out for him that he sees what the Bible is. That he really sees if you read it from cover to cover. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, it's a great thing and it's a scary thing. God has given us the ability to put our faith in things and to choose to what to put our faith in. And we need to pray that Gillette would begin to put his faith in something other than himself. Because that's the beginning of a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You're putting your faith in someone who said, who's God? And you know what? He is God. 610-539-TALK is the number to call. Let your voice be heard this morning. 610-539-TALK or 1-877-667-1180, toll free. That's 1-877-667-1180, toll free. So that was something that got a little bit under my craw, I could say. Again, love him or hate him. Bill O'Reilly, he makes some great points sometimes, and again, makes some really boneheaded points. But I felt a need to talk about that this morning. We got a great show lined up for you this morning, by the way. We're going to be talking about paycheck protection in the second hour. We're going to have a bunch of guests come in for that. We're going to have State Representative Daryl Metcalf, who is a Republican in the Pennsylvania General Assembly. And then we're also going to, well, you know what? We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll get to all the different, but you should definitely tune in and stick around for that at 8. That's going to be a wonderful discussion. We're going to take the hour on that one, on paycheck protection. But I just felt at that point needed some talking to about atheism and Gillette's remarks there. Because if anyone is a poster boy for atheism, it's Penn Gillette. It really is. And there's been a mix of emotions. I don't understand why, as Christians, we are so afraid of atheists. Am I the only one that feels that way? I don't understand why Christians are so afraid of atheists. What do we have to be afraid of? Why are we afraid to have our faith challenged, to have it questioned? Wasn't it Paul that said you need to have an answer for your faith, for what you believe is a scriptural commandment, essentially, is that we need to have a reason for what we believe, an explanation, so that when an atheist comes along, because I have to tell you, people say that we're really far advanced. You know, we're really not in regards to ancient times. You know, the Corinthians, you know, because there's the book, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, right? 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I'm not going to stay on this too much longer, but 1st and 2nd Corinthians, because we have more to talk about. But there are two books in the New Testament, two letters, really, that were written by Paul, and if you know what it was like to live in Corinth in ancient times, they had a motley of gods. They had a motley of essentially idols, what we would maybe as Christians look at as idols, because these gods were self-serving. That's why they're idols. They were self-serving, where if you wanted something good, you would go to the gods and make a sacrifice, and that something good usually was something that was sinful. If you're looking at the Christian perspective, it's actually kind of cut and dry. Say you wanted fertility. Well, you would go to the temple of Aphrodite and you may join with a temple prostitute. You may basically roll in the hay with a temple prostitute, and that may guarantee you fertility. And you appease the god of Aphrodite. The gods were very much like humans. They were selfish, self-centered, and everything that you were to do with your interactions with them was all about what you could get out of it, not what you could give. But they also had, and Paul, and well, this is referenced in Acts, I believe, that there is a unknown God there is an unknown God, and that they did not know his name, but someone from whence everything came, all things originated, and they could not name him. So they didn't, they had a little, basically a monument to this unknown God. I believe it was this in the city of Corinth. If I'm wrong, correct me. You can call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, toll free, 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. But they had a tribute, a monument, to this unknown God. Because they knew something else was out there. They knew something else created all these things, and they couldn't let it go. I think that was interesting that God allowed that to stay. They made a choice to put that there, a testament to God's creating of each and every one of us in his image, what he says in Scripture. We got paycheck protection coming up at 8. Got the latest from Iran and the nuclear deal and the important news as far as the whole mess. And was Congress going to get involved? Can they get involved? What are they doing? I'll be back. Obama White House relents, finally, for one thing in his administration. He relents on his own policy. Finally, he admits he does not know everything there is to do in government. Thank you, President Obama, for allowing Congress a voice in the proposed nuclear accord by saying you would sign a compromise bill giving Congress that voice. Thank you for relenting. Thank you for admitting that you do not know everything. That's how we get anywhere in this world. The first place that you actually get somewhere is you admit you have no idea where the heck you are. And honestly, President Obama, I think a lot of people, not just myself, think that you have no idea where you are on this Iran nuclear deal. No one wants war. I don't want war. No one wants it. And that's the thing. And what amazes me with politics is that everyone wants, if you ever think about it, everyone wants the same thing. They all want the same thing. Everyone wants a better economy. Everyone wants peace. Everyone wants opportunity for those who are disadvantaged. Everyone. We all just have a million different ways of doing it. Have you ever thought of that? That's really all politics is when it boils down. And for some reason in this country, I believe it's spiritual, we have lost sight of that goal. We all have the same goal in mind. And instead of working together, there is the harshest of divisions right now in our nation. And it's scary. I've talked with my dad about it, and I love talking with my dad. He's a wealth of wisdom, I believe, personally, for me. And a lot of people listening probably think that same thing. If your father is not that for you, my heart goes out to you. Not everyone is fortunate enough to have a great relationship with their dad. There's sometimes a ton of different circumstances, whether it be a divorce or abuse, or in this world today, who knows. But I found a lot of wealth of wisdom in my father. And, he was talking to me, and I was asking him about the division. Because, when I was in high school, I was actually a really big part of that. I was very, very partisan. And I try with every bone in my body. I really do. I still want to say what I believe. But I try with every bone in my body not to make the division or the rift any deeper in this country, but to still talk about what is right, what I believe needs to be heard, but to do it in a way that is civil, in a way that is peaceful, in a way that builds bridges, not destroys them. And and I'm just telling the truth here. President Obama saying that he would be reaching over the aisle, at least at the beginning of his presidency, has so divided this nation in a way like we have never seen before with his policies on everything from race to religion to foreign policy. Everything and anything in between. And I think it all is because of one thing. I think it's because he thinks that he only knows the best way. Why else would someone take executive action and disregard completely at least the intent of the Constitution? He can make executive actions, but can they or should we allow them to have the effect that they are having? Do they have as much power as President Obama believes that they have? No, they do not. And there's a reason. The executive branch is the weakest branch in the government. And there's a reason, because it's only one person. And the founders made it that way. I think we could all agree on that. They didn't want a king. They didn't want someone saying, well, Congress is in deadlock, so I'm going to do what needs to be done in order that we may have a better future. No, because that makes one person in charge and makes my vote, your vote, and everyone else's vote, all your neighbors, worthless. And the second that happens, we have ceased to be America. So, thank you, President Obama, for admitting you do not know everything in foreign policy. And I hope that continues in government. The House relented on Tuesday, the White House, that is, said President Obama would sign a compromise bill giving Congress a voice on the proposed nuclear accord with Iran because, and this is what it took, you know, it's almost like an intervention. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, let your voice be heard this morning. It's almost like an intervention with an alcoholic. Things have to get so bad in order for them to see that they're on the wrong path and that they need to change, otherwise they're going to lose their friends, their family, their job, their lifestyle, even their health. Things have to get so bad to where they finally take a step back and go, whoa, all right, I need someone else's help. I can't do this on my own. And President Obama has just realized that. In all of his time in office. And you know what? It's a good thing. It's a really good thing, and thank you. But you know what it took, though? Get this. A unanimous agreement in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee to move this legislation to the full Senate for a vote. 19 on that committee, Republicans and Democrats, unanimously voted through this bill that would give Congress a voice in the nuclear deal. That prompted the White House saying that President Obama would sign the compromise bill, because you know what Congress was doing there? They were saying, listen, if you veto this bill from the White House, we're going to have enough to supermajority it over you. And you don't want that on your record. How many times has that happened in American history? How many times has the Senate overturned a presidential veto? What are we going to, are we going to get that? We'll get that. But that was what they were saying, and that's what it took. That is what it took to get President Obama off of, I don't know, to basically get him to say, listen, you need the American people to have their say in this. Love them or hate them, Congress are our elected representatives, and their voice right now is just as important as yours and mine. Because if their voice is discredited, then with our system, our voices are discredited. So, love them or hate them, I know they have the lowest approval rating right now of any Congress in history. But they are our only direct voice, because you could call your representative, you could talk to them, you could email them. it's another story altogether whether they'll listen, but you can make it so uncomfortable for them, kind of in the same situation that President Obama was in, so uncomfortable for them to where they have to acknowledge that they can't do this on their own, that they need to hear your voice. That is what America is about, is it not? That is why we're the greatest country in the world, is it not? Because let me tell you, every country other than the United States does not have as much freedom as we do. Everyone, every single one, at this time in history, there is the most freedom. Whether you think it's free to do the right thing or the wrong thing, there is the most physical, intellectual freedom in the United States right now. There's more freedom than in any other country around the world. In Canada, pastors can't preach against homosexuality from the pulpit. It is illegal. Whether you believe in that or not, it's deemed as hate speech. That is an affront to freedom. Similar laws in the United Kingdom. These are Western countries. First world countries. There is no more freedom in the entire world than in the United States right now. And that's what makes us the greatest nation on the planet. Not our military might. Our military might secures that. What makes us the best nation on the face of the earth is our freedom. And that will always be our freedom. I think it's interesting. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let liberty ring, baby. Let it ring. From Independence Hall right here in Philadelphia, that old bell, I'm sure, can still ring. And it does in the hearts and minds of every American. And may it not grow quiet anytime in the near future. But the White House relented. So let's see. And this is from the New York Times, by the way. I'm reading this article. An unusual alliance, it says. It's like a mystery story. An unusual alliance of Republican opponents of the nuclear deal and some of Mr. Obama's strongest Democratic supporters demanded a congressional role as international negotiators work to turn this month's nuclear framework into a final deal by June 30th. Sounds like some kind of movie. It's like Taken 4. Is there going to be another Taken? Taken 4. How many times can they rehash the same story? I loved the first Taken. I really did. I thought it was great. I think Liam Neeson is a tremendous actor, but you've done 3. That's enough. Cut it off. Only three. Don't do a fourth one. The New York Times says it like it's some kind of taboo. An unusual alliance. Well, we're glad that alliance took place. We got one more segment we're going to talk about. A little bit more about the nuclear deal. Congress is making their voice heard. Let your voice be heard. 610-539 Talk. We'll be back. Back to the program. I was just looking at today's daily baseball. You're gonna love this one. But we're gonna finish up on the Iran nuclear deal. All right, time to be serious now, right? That's right. We gotta be serious now. That's absolutely right. Now we're gonna finish on the Iran nuclear deal, and then we have paycheck protection from 8 to 9. So make sure you stay around for that. We're gonna have Representative Metcalf and others. Representative Metcalf in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, have him and others with us talking about paycheck protection. That's going to be later in the program at 8 o'clock. So go ahead, let your voice be heard this morning at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180, toll free. And let's talk a little bit more about this deal. Now, I'm reading an article from the New York Times. Headline, Obama yields, allowing Congress say on Iran nuclear deal. We've already talked about that. Now, President Obama has finally said, I can't do this on my own. And quite frankly, the Congress showed him very powerfully that, no, they're not going to let him do it on his own because of a unanimous agreement to move this compromise bill, allowing Congress a say in the nuclear talks, I guess you could say. Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 19 Republicans and Democrats voted unanimously to put this bill through to the full House. White House officials insisted they extracted crucial last-minute concessions. Republicans and many Democrats said the president simply got overrun. Quote, we're involved here. We have to be involved here. That's right. You better be involved there. That's why we elected you. Senator Benjamin L. Cardin of Maryland, the committee's ranking Democrat, who served as a bridge between the White House and Republicans as they negotiated changes in the days before the committee's vote on Tuesday. Only Congress can change, and this is from him, quote, only Congress can change or permanently modify the sanctions regime, unquote. And that is true. The president can make an agreement with Iran, however you want to say it. Honestly, the name of the country is becoming more and more like poison on my lips. Not that the people are not good people, and not that they're not a great people even. Nothing against the actual people in Iran. They're oppressed, quite frankly. They're oppressed. A lot of them are even giving in to Islam. I believe Islam is a very oppressive religion. If you look at it in the Quran, there are some very interesting surahs, is what they're called, different sections of the Quran. Very interesting ones that have been many a headline in the mainstream news. But when I talk about Iran, I mean the leadership of Iran. Talking about that country and their leadership just makes it feel like poison on my lips day in and day out. I'm getting tired of their name because, quite frankly, I do not think that a nation that is so reprehensible in its leadership should have such a seat in the media and in the world as it does today. That is my final opinion on the matter. I will have no tolerance for someone who says that the nation of Israel needs to be obliterated and that America needs to be destroyed and that chants death to our nation almost on a daily basis. I will have no tolerance for such a country, and I hope our leaders will not. Obama's acknowledged that he's going to actually listen to some others, so let's see how this all pans out. But the essence of the legislation is that Congress will have a chance to vote on whatever deal emerges with Iran, if one is reached by June 30th. That is the deadline, but in a way, that would be extremely difficult for Mr. Obama to lose, allowing Secretary of State John Kerry to tell his Iranian counterpart that the risk that an agreement would be upended on Capitol Hill is limited, because Obama has to make an agreement. Now, I will say this, there may be some tears when that agreement goes through, because I have to say, Iran wants to bite off more than they can chew with this deal. They don't want any restrictions. They want all sanctions lifted. But you know why? They're basically crying uncle, because the sanctions are destroying their economy. They are destroying their economy, and that's why they say, we want all sanctions lifted. We have to have all the sanctions lifted. That is what they want. That is their negotiating sheep. They're like a spoiled child. Again, not the people of Iran. Okay, the people are very different than the leadership that we're interacting with right now. So not the people at all. But the leadership, they're like a spoiled child. They want their cake, and they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to say that Israel should be obliterated and that the Jews are swine of people. They want to be able to say that publicly and preach death to America publicly, but they want all the sanctions to be lifted on them. I'm sorry. It ain't going to happen. It better not happen. And if people don't get mad about that, I don't know what they will. All right. It's I have had enough of the hard stuff. We're gonna kind of go back to that in a minute. But are you ready to laugh today? I'm ready to laugh today. It's time for your daily facepalm. I love this one. Oh, paramedic rushes to help collapsed woman. Here we go. This is from metro.co.uk. A paramedic rushed to save the life of a woman who had collapsed, only to discover that it was actually just a poorly pigeon that needed treatment. That's right. You heard me right. It's a pigeon that needed treatment. Rachel Lack sped to the scene, and I love this. I can't make this up. This is too funny. Rachel Lack sped to the scene in Southall, West London, and found that a crowd had gathered around a dying pigeon. When I arrived, I saw three men and a woman standing around a pigeon, she said. I asked if they had called an ambulance for the pigeon. They said they had. They were surprised to learn that the ambulance is for humans, not animals. They're surprised. The ambulance is for humans, not animals. I guess they called 911. There's a difference. If there's a different one in the UK, is later became clear that a language barrier had resulted in the call handler mistakenly believing that a woman was in need of help and not a pigeon. Oh, the poor pigeon. The poor, poor pigeon. But you know what? It was good. It was good that that ambulance was there to go ahead and save that poor thing's life. In fact, I don't even know. Is the pigeon still alive? We should figure out. Did they save the pigeon? Or did the pigeon die in the street? It would be a failure of British healthcare that they let the life of a pigeon slip while a paramedic came to the scene to make a valiant effort. Fortunately, incidents like this are very rare, but we'd still like to remind Londoners. And this was Emergency Planning Officer Chris Hawkswell. Still like to remind Londoners to use us wisely. And I'm sure he emphasized that word. And contact our colleagues in the RSPCA for advice on animal welfare. That's your daily facepalm for the day. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had a wonderful time listening to that. We're going to come back right after this break. We're going to talk about paycheck protection on this oh-so-wonderful tax day. Oh, that's right. I did not forget. Did you? Don't you do it. You file those taxes. You better do it. Or Uncle Sam, he's going to be all up on you like white on rice.